Indiana locks up a higher proportion of children and teens than nearly any other Midwest state. Many of those kids are detained for nonviolent crimes or offenses like missing school. From WFYI's Education Desk, Dylan Piers McCoy reports on why the state relies on juvenile incarceration and why many experts and advocates say that's bad for youth.
Versira Davis's son was held in juvenile detention so many times the reasons blur together in her memory. He had an outburst at school, he was caught with a gun, he fled house arrest. But she knows one thing for certain. He was 10 years old the first time police took him from their home in South Bend. She thought the ordeal was over when the court released him 15 days later.
He just kept saying, that's a scary place. So we just thought like, okay, this ain't gonna be nothing else, but unfortunately, it was. I guess it was just the beginning for us.
Indiana locks up young people in unusually high numbers. They're held in county detention before judges decide their cases. They're removed from their homes for residential treatment. And they're committed to state correctional facilities. State data on youth incarceration is limited. But a single-day federal count of how many young people are locked up found Indiana to be 40% above the national rate. Davis says her son was ensnared in the juvenile justice system for almost a decade. He was different whenever he came home.
I feel like my son is becoming institutionalized.
He'd ask permission to open the fridge and take a soda. He'd wear rubber shoes in the shower. Experts say detention should be a last resort to keep communities safe. It's not the right option for children and young teens like Davis's son who need mental health care.
The justice system imposes its own trauma, right? Anytime you take a child, you know, into a locked situation, you're going to be imposing potentially more harm.
That's Janae Hanger with the Children's Policy and Law Initiative of Indiana. The majority of youth detained before trial are accused of misdemeanor offenses. That includes crimes like theft, possession of marijuana, and disorderly conduct. Hanger says the decision over what to do when a young person breaks the law rests with local courts. Some Indiana communities have significantly cut detention in recent years, but other places haven't changed.
It's really time for us to take a step back and say structurally, what do we need to do differently? And where do the laws in this state actually lead to the criminalization of youth?
Versira Davis and her son live in South Bend. The St. Joseph County Probate Court handles juvenile cases there. Bill Brunsma runs the court and juvenile detention facility. He says only the highest risk youth are detained.
So in Indiana, the juvenile system in every county is the bottom of your safety net. So when the schools fail and the parents fail, and the medical systems fail, and the mental health systems fail, guess who's handling them?
Brunsma is a psychologist who's worked in juvenile justice for close to three decades. He says that if courts stop detaining and committing youth in serious need, those young people could eventually face even more dire consequences. South Bend, like other communities in Indiana, is dealing with deadly youth gun violence.
And it's not a benefit to the child. If I put him back in a situation where it's totally unsafe for him, you know, and he's killed, that's a disaster from my viewpoint.
That's a fear Davis shares. But Davis's detention made things worse for her son. He was arrested at 17 for gun-related offenses. He was charged as an adult.
Then he's going to start his adult life with a felony. Yeah, pretty much shattered a lot of stuff for us.
Davis believes the 8 years her son spent in the juvenile justice system set him up to start his adult life in jail. Dylan Piers McCoy, WFYI News.